Well, let's just see what the Lord has for us today. And we're going to go back to Daniel and the third chapter. And so our verse of scripture this morning, we'll start with chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. We're going to look at three verses here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, there's no need to defend ourselves in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, would you say that? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, the title of my message this morning is The Right Mindset Will Bring You Through. The right mindset will bring you through. Pretty much everything in our culture today is designed, you've got to know this, it is designed to distract us, and at the same time, it is conspiring to draw us away from God. Now, that's the culture that we're living in. And so it is imperative then that we know what's happening around us and then be ready to stand our ground for what is right and for what is truth based on God's principles. We need to prepare our children. We need to prepare our grandchildren. And so one of the ways that we prepare ourselves is by having the right mindset. Now, there are certain activities and events and things that we do that we absolutely need a particular mindset for. I happen to think that a fighter pilot needs a certain mindset. You want someone calm, you want someone cool and collected and skilled. And also, how about just a little full of themselves with a tad bit of crazy? You can tell maybe that's from watching too much Top Gun in my younger years, you know. But I would think a successful jet pilot needs to think and be a certain way. I read an article this week about what it takes to even work at Chick-fil-A. You know, working at Chick-fil-A, they say, produces a particular mindset. Here's what it said. Chick-fil-A trains their employees on a simple four-part model when serving customers. First, you make eye contact. Second, you smile and strive to see that the customer returns a smile. And third, you engage them personally. And then fourth, every Chick-fil-A staff member has the unilateral power, and they are encouraged then to offer complimentary food in an attempt to make a customer's day better. So now that I have you thinking about Chick-fil-A, it so happens they're closed on Sundays. So, thank you, Pastor. We appreciate that. So, a mindset is a way of thinking that can be developed and shaped by experiences. But overall, it shapes us how we view our world and how we shape our lives. This morning, I'm talking about the right mindset then for a believer in Jesus. As we live in a culture then that does not encourage faith in Jesus Christ, but rather it discourages it. The right mindset then for a believer in Jesus is formed by the Bible, and it's formed by experience with God and by viewing our lives and the lives of others through the wisdom that God teaches us and gives us. Not all mindsets are alike. I mentioned last week, it seems like we no longer live in a Christian nation, and we're living in a land where God is not the priority. Just about everything in our culture, again, is designed to pull us away from God. If you're a believer, you're absolutely living in a foreign land, I believe. We do not live in a nation rooted in biblical values, but rather we do live in Babylon. And for those of us who are citizens of the kingdom of God, Babylon has a completely different mindset than what is presented to us in God's Word. And so today, I want us to look at Daniel chapter 3. We're going to look into it to find what the right mindset is then while living in Babylon. If you're a believer in Christ living today in the good old U.S. of A., guess what? You are caught between two ways of living. There are two ways at war in our society. And they most of the time do not get along and do not mesh. And the first way is what is described in the Bible as the way of life in God's kingdom. And it's where a relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Lord, is prized as well as morality and purity and the desire of God to redeem whole families and neighborhoods and for everyone to come into His kingdom. Believers in God take their definition of life from the Creator. We look to Him for answers to our questions about life because we know life at times can be confusing. Can you say amen? Amen. In this first way, one's identity and sexuality and politics and money and raising children and all aspects of life are rooted in the purposes of God. And they follow His design. And how many know that's the right way? The second way is against the purposes of God. The prevailing attitudes and collective values and assumptions about human purpose are not based on God's Word or God at all, but it's based rather on self. Babylon teaches that we cannot live with people who are different than us because those people are intolerant and must be punished. Well, we've heard that, haven't we, a lot. Babylon says that sex and sexuality is defined by us and movement and the movements of our own hearts. Technology and the opinion of the masses and the loud minority teach us how to live wisely, not by some antiquated book called the Bible or even some old antiquated paper called the Constitution. So we see then we are caught really between two ways of thinking that are at odds with one another. Our culture tells us right now is what is all important. And it implies that mocking humor is okay. And that vulgar, on the edge humor it's okay. Being addicted to wasting time and being distracted is a good thing. Follow your heart, they say, and we must be conscious then of our image. Understand with me this morning, none of these things are compatible with Christ-centered living. And so we do find ourselves living in Babylon. Our text of Scripture describes those who are at odds then with the culture in which they live. They need a particular mindset to persevere and endure and make their way each day. We find the three Hebrew children then, the friends of Daniel, who are in captivity there in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've had their names changed, and they're now caught between their faith in God that tells them and what the king of the land tells them. The kingdom of God says one thing, and Babylon tells another. And so King Nebuchadnezzar sets up, then we find a large statue, and everyone is supposed to bow down and praise him and pray to him. And it came time then, as you read this story in chapter 3, it comes time to bow down. And so Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego would not bow. Everyone is bowed down but them. They felt that they could not and should not. Their values, based on the Word of God, stated that they should have no other gods before God in heaven. Their beliefs stated that they should not worship idols as gods or pray to anyone or anything else other than Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And you and I know these beliefs as part of the Ten Commandments. I want to be clear on this morning, that this is a big deal. Bowing down to another so-called God is a big deal. And you've got to know it is a line that God drew in the sand that believers in Him should not cross. Can you say amen? This was not minor pressure, but it was a major deal. The values of Babylon in which they lived stated that the king was to be worshipped and to be prayed to. And you were to toe the line or you would be punished. You're to worship and as the king commands. And so the king and the state come then above their religious beliefs. The punishment was pretty severe in that they would be tossed into a fiery furnace to end their lives. So how did they respond? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a mindset then, Brandon, of confidence and an assurance in God. Their faith was strong. Everything in their culture was telling them to bow down to these idols and pray to a false god. And yet, they could not do it. They remained faithful to truth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had an assurance that their God would deliver them from this fiery trial. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king that even if they are in the midst of the fire and perhaps are not sure of the outcome, they still would not bow down. They anchored themselves in God and assured themselves of His faithfulness. They will be faithful. Why? Because they believe God to be faithful. You've got to know that is powerful faith. So what we're talking about with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not a theory, and it is not a theory for us. This is practical living based on being sure in God, in Christ. Almost on a daily basis, we are encouraged and we're told that adopting certain beliefs or values is no big deal. And yet, those practices and beliefs draw us away from God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teach us to side with God and be assured that He is right. And so without a doubt, just know that our God is always right. Don't let a question enter your mind. Understand, I'm not talking about little things that do not matter in today's culture. I'm talking about in the major, no room for debate areas in which we are caught in the middle. Like authority of the Bible in the presence then of absolute truth. We're caught in the middle there. Abortion rights and the rights of newborns. The definition of marriage and the epidemic then of just living together. And then there's subjects like gender fluidity and same-sex attraction and racism and Black Lives Matter and white privilege and social justice issues. All these things matter in our society. And so it matters then what we believe and how we act concerning them. It matters, watch this, that we are yoked with God and not with culture. Amen. Amen. I happen to believe that all lives matter. Red, yellow, black, and white. God must dictate then what and how we believe about these issues. And we must be assured that He is right and that He is always good and that He's always correct, even when our culture tells us we are wrong and we are evil and we are incorrect. We must side with God always. We must always side with God and His Word, even if our hearts tell us otherwise. Listen, our hearts can lead us wrong. There is a passage in the New Testament that illustrates this principle, that the principles of God and our secular culture do not mix. Here it is. I want to read it to you, and let me explain it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you've got your Bibles or your phones, or you can just follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? On the level of the context then of this passage, we see a Christian and a non-Christian do not need to be in a dating or romantic relationship or to even marry one another. That is what this passage means in context. If you're a believer in Jesus, then you need to seek a believing spouse, period. Well, Pastor, I just believe that if I marry that person, that I'll get them in church and I'll get them saved. No, you won't. It never works that way. Very rarely. So that is what the passage means from the Apostle Paul, who wrote it to the believers at Corinth. Apparently some of that was going on. So on a slightly bigger view, we look at the bigger picture, we see that God's people then, living in Babylon, are going to be at odds with the culture because we have little in common with the culture. You've got to understand that. And you cannot have it both ways. The Apostle Paul says that God's kingdom is at odds with the culture. Listen, our mindset must be that we stand our ground with God and be assured that He is right all the time. And this mindset then is not based on emotions. It's not based on experiences, but it's based rather on God. It's based on His faithfulness. It's based on the truths that are presented in His Word. We're talking about mindsets today. A mindset, again, is a way of thinking that can be developed and shaped by experiences, but overall shapes how we view our world and how we shape our lives, how we view our lives. Again, to bring this home, there's certain activities that, and events and things that we do that you absolutely need a mindset to do. I read a story this week. It was kind of humorous, about a pastor who had a part-time job working in a call center. And he did that in his early years when he first married. He said, being a call center employee absolutely needed a particular mindset. He said, I found that after just 2 hours or so of talking to rude and stupid people on the phone, that I tended to be rude and stupid back. Yet, I think of Brandon in this, you know, talking to his customers, you know. Amber and I just shake our head when he tells us these stories, you know. That, anyway, yet after some time doing that, he said, I did indeed finally grow as a person. Because you see, a call center mindset is one that expects rudeness, yet must always respond with kindness, a nice tone, and the ability not to hang up on that person. And so we see one mindset then with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their faith in God. We live in a world that is complicated and anxious and many times calls for us to live unwisely. How then are we to live? How do we find wisdom? How then are we to make a difference in our family and at work or in our community when it seems like everything around us is pressuring us against our faith and right moral living? Well, you stay true to God's word. You seek the Lord's wisdom. And you let the Holy Spirit guide you on a daily basis. I promise you, He will lead you if you'll just ask Him to. In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul came to the people in Berea. And they shared the gospel. And he shared the gospel with them. And it says they immediately went to the scriptures and they saw that what he said was the absolutely truth. The important truth then to see is that God's word shows us how to discern what is right and what is wrong. That's why it's so important to stay in the word. God's word is wisdom. And with that wisdom at work in you, it will give you a check in your spirit when there's a doubt or when there's a question. You'll know when somebody's talking. You'll know right up. That's just not right. You'll face stress-filled situations. And guess what? Sometimes the Lord puts us in those places and those things happen. He places us in our families, in our work, and places us in a church and in our community and in classes and part of certain groups. And guess what? We're not to bury our head in the sand or hide under a rock, but we're to have the right mindset that God has placed us where we are, and we will look to Him then for wisdom. A resilient disciple of Jesus will anchor themselves in the Bible and allow then the Word of God to dictate how they discern truth in the world. Our mindset must be that we stand our ground with God and be assured that He is right 100% of the time. There's never any doubt of God's word. Again, this mindset is not based on emotions or experiences, but rather on God and His faithfulness and the truths presented in His word. You are where you are for a purpose. You've got to know that. God has put you where you are for a purpose. Look where He has put Sister Diane. That's a perfect example, Sister Diane. So here we go. This mindset should be applied when we are on social media. Just because you read it and it sounds good to you does not mean that it is true or should even be posted. Our culture tells us that, well, you can do anything or say anything from behind a computer screen. That simply is not true. Did you know that you can sin behind a computer screen just as you can face to face? God does not want you sharing garbage from the internet just because you think it sounds good. Amen? All right. I'll get off that soapbox. Share truth. Share God's truth with the people around you. And you do it then with gentleness, and you do it with respect. I'm sorry, I don't care for that kind of language. I don't want to listen to that kind of joke. I just don't want that in my mind. Listen, they'll either get mad at you or they'll appreciate you in the long run. This mindset should be applied when we're dealing with groups that may be pushing agendas opposite of our beliefs. And there's a lot of them out there. I was blown away when I read some time back how the National Board or the National School Board Association wrote a letter to the U.S. Attorney General asking them to investigate these parents who they believe are a threat. All because these parents were coming to the school board meetings at a local level to protest certain curriculum that was being introduced, of which I say the origin came straight from hell itself. Here's what it was. It was showing and explaining to kindergartners, mind you, and from there up about them having a choice in their sexuality. That's from the devil himself, y'all. And sadly, our government agreed and looked at parents to now be a threat. And the FBI went and started visiting parents instead of looking for true terrorists. We are definitely living in Babylon. So as parents, let me encourage you. First, you pray, but you better know what your children are being taught. I can't think of a better way then for a parent or for a better thing than for a parent to run for election and be on that school board and be an influence for Christ where He has planted you. And I thank God every day for Sister Lydia, Sister Cherry being on our city council. I'm telling you, they're watchmen on the wall for this city. And then we have Sister Reith, who has been placed working in the city, and Paula working in the city here. And they can see things that go on. And I'm telling you, there are people in the city now, their co-workers, they appreciate Sister Lydia for what she stands for, and Sister Cherry. And they look forward to even sharing things because they want that feedback from them. And I'm telling you, they'll tell the truth. Sister Lydia will tell you the truth. She won't beat around the bush. Speak up then and stand up for godly values. Why? Because your mindset matters as you live in a culture that wars against your biblical beliefs. And so as I bring this to a close this morning, let me say again, pretty much everything is designed and is conspiring to distract us and to impact us and draw us away from God. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready in our minds. We need to prepare our children. Talk to them. Prepare your grandchildren. Prepare by having the right mindset. Our families should know where we stand about certain issues. Our co-workers need to know and be assured of where we stand in our beliefs. Our mindset must be that we stand our ground with God and be assured that He is right 100% of the time. And again, this mindset is not based on our emotions, but it's based rather on God and His faithfulness and the truths that are presented to us from His Word. And yes, our experiences with Him. One last scripture and I'm through. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Very familiar. But I want to read it in the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. I want that mindset so I can be a victor and not a victim. Did you know there's a lot of Christians out there are living the life of a victim? They haven't learned to have that mindset change. Everything is a failure. Everything is negative. It's not going to get any better. Don't you have that mindset. You're a victor. You can walk in victory on a daily basis. We don't have to settle for less than God's best. Daniel and his three friends had the right mindset. The Bible says that God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. They went into the fire. They still went into the fire. But the Lord was right there with them. Their hair, the Bible says, was not singed. Their clothes was not burned. Nor were there was not even the smell of smoke on their lives, on their bodies. And they turned the heart of the king. That's our God. And that's what He does. And guess what? You need to know He'll do the very same thing for you. And He'll do the very same thing for me. Let Him work on your mindset. You stay in the Word. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And guess what? When we do that, we'll find success. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord. I want my mind changed. I don't know many of you that were around quite a few years ago. Bishop Engel. He'd sing that song. My mind, my mind, my mind is gone. I had a smoky mind, but God gave me a Holy Ghost mind. Oh, I'll never forget him. Never forget him. Woo! 80-something years old. He'd go across the front. Whoop, 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 whoop. God gave him a Holy Ghost mind. That's what we need today is a Holy Ghost mind. Hallelujah. Point to your mind and say, Lord, I need a Holy Ghost mind. Woo, I don't want no old smoky lying mind. Amen. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your awesome presence that has just permeated this house today. Oh, from the very first note that was played, the very first testimony, the very first song that was played, your presence fell in the house. It came in with your people. And so, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for what you've done. Lord, let this word permeate our minds and our hearts. Let us take it, God. Let us dwell on it. Let us ponder it. Lord, as we go from this house, we thank you that this week, God, we thank you for great success. We can expect victory this week. We can expect favor. It doesn't matter what they say it's going to cost or what this is going to be. We can expect favor. We can expect discounts. We can expect checks in the mail. We can believe for big things because you're a great God and you're a big God. And you love your children. So, Lord, I thank you. Work on my mind. Lord, I want it renewed daily in you. We praise you today. Lord, I just speak blessings over your people as we go from this place today. Keep us safe. Keep us strong. Keep us hydrated in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. Bread is in the